Well, I think people understand, those people who are conscious of what's going on in America today, that you cannot separate the shooting in South Carolina from the by this young racist from the shootings by the police of unarmed black men and women. They come from part and parcel of the same source, the deep-rooted racist ideology that this country was founded on, the illusion that black people in this country are citizens of this country. And so this young man, this is horrific murder, people praying in a church, a black church, and being gunned down like that. Even more horrendous is he was sitting there with them for over an hour, you know, and it's a horrific crime. However, I think the key is, though, for us to understand this in the context of what's going on, and that this young man is just part and parcel of that. So we grieve, we mourn, we're outraged, we're angry, but we also understand that he is endemic of the ideology that America was built on and that it always goes back to. And that's that black people have no rights that white people have to respect, that black people are considered to be inferior, that black people must be repressed in terms of their existence in this country. And so that's why we think this young man, in terms of looking at ideological unity, can reflect back on apartheid South Africa and apartheid Rhodesia, you know, countries that were built openly on a racist ideology, an ideology which they got much of from the United States. So there's always been a marriage between the racist ideologies in Africa and by European settlers and the racist ideology of European settlers in North America, you know. And that ideology is built on the fact that people of color, particularly of African ancestry, are not human beings and therefore do not have to be treated as human beings, but can be treated as animals and burdens for labor, to exploit their labor. And so it's not without, if one looks at it, perspective that a young man would relate back to Rhodesia and certainly in South Africa, where they openly said that, in fact, black people, African people are inferior. He would relate back to that as many people in the South continue to relate back to the Confederacy. In fact, the governor of South Carolina has always advocated and been proud of the fact that the Confederate flag can still fly in the capital of South Carolina. And the Confederate flag is a flag of rebellion and racism, but it continued to fly. So these are the kinds of conditions that have nourished a young man like this. And in terms of treating him, we'll see what goes on with the case. The fact that he killed them and murdered them in cold blood, we'll see what happens with the case. Of course, the outrage today is, of course, that they were innocent, they were unarmed. However, we will see what happens in the so-called courts of justice in the United States.
As someone who has visited Africa, including Zimbabwe, do you think this country's colonial history is widely known, especially to white supremacists, even the younger ones?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Very well known, because the ideologies are the same, and it's also in terms of what their parents and what the schools continue to teach in that regard. Everybody on the surface, you know, condemns the question of the racist ideology of the American South, and the racist ideology of the apartheid and racism in terms of so-called Rhodesia. However, the bottom line is the ideologies are the same, and so they find themselves. So it's not accidental that he has a Confederate insignia and he has a Rhodesian insignia, because to him, those two symbols are symbols of white supremacy and symbols of the fact that African people are not fully human beings and are there to be exploited. And if you notice, his rant was that black people rape women and they're taking over in terms of that. So I think one of the things it says to African people, it raises a question, and it goes back to many of our leaders on the continent and in the United States, that what should our relationship be to a government, whose citizens are killing us? You know, what should black people's relationship be to a government whose real citizens are killing us? And it poses many questions, but one of the questions it raises is a question of, which has been a historical one, is around the question of separation. You know, we've never, ever, and most of our historical freedom fighters and leaders have said to us that we were never asked our relationship to America. It was forced on us. When slavery ended in the United States, no one ever asked the ex-slaves what should their relationship be. It was forced on us. And all forcing on us did was strap us down with decades and decades of continued exploitation and racist attacks like what took place, And so the world is horrified, but for many of us who understand the connections between racist ideology and exploitation, the things that were fought against in Zimbabwe in terms of the liberation of Zimbabwe from the racist ideology and colonialists of Rhodesia, and for those of us who understand that we have never had equality in this country, this killing of 9 people in cold blood, although horrific as it is, parallels the same question of black people dying because they are black because of poor health care, being shot down in the street by the, quote, police, and other forms of attacks on black people that the end result is we are just as dead. And so much attention will be given to this young man in terms of his racist ideology and the horror of the crime he committed. But also, the question is, before this happened, black people were still already dying in this country for many different reasons and avenues that are killing us just as much in terms of that. So, you know, we think that that's the important thing that the international community needs to know, that America is just as steeped in racism today as it has historically been. It is just trying in a better way to cover it up. And these kinds of incidents only just project the fact to people that things are not what America tries to make it out to be. Regardless of what offices people hold and how long they've held them, the conditions of our people are as bad now as they have ever been. And when you look at all of the statistics and the data of incarceration in prison, who's in prison, the proliferation of guns, you know, one of the things that's happened is, you know, there's a big cry about guns being put in the hands of children. Well, that's precisely what's been happening inside the United States. Massive amounts of high-quality weapons are being dumped into our community, just like drugs were dumped into our community. And then when the end result of it is you have people on drugs and people shooting each other, then the victim is blamed as if the victim is the perpetrator in terms of that. And this is not new.
Lastly, what is your outlook for the future?
I take great encouragement and have always had from our African brothers and sisters who have fought for their liberation from apartheid and colonialism. And those are many lessons for us to learn here, that a nation of people have a right to be self-determining. And that question must be posed to them. And in countries like Zimbabwe, I think they have led the way on the question of not just seeking political rights, but also seeking their economic rights. You can't separate the two. And so I think they're tremendous examples for us internationally, and in particularly on the African continent, and like I said, specifically from Zimbabwe, on the question that a people cannot develop unless they're in charge of themselves. And when they find themselves in a situation where those who govern them will never allow them to fully be able to develop as a people, then the question for those people becomes, then how should they choose how they want to be governed? And I think this incident and many of the incidents that I'm sure you're aware of that have been happening over the past couple of years only prove and point out the fact that black people in this country have a right to determine how they should be governed. And that question is answered around the world by the question of self-determination. And as an example, that's why this young man went back to talk about Rhodesia, because he can't talk about Zimbabwe, because the people of Zimbabwe liberated themselves from the same kind of racist, exploitive ideology that black people continue to suffer under here in the United States in 2015.